KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
Here's what's coming up in the 10 o'clock hour.
I'm Brian Calvert with the new issue for vaccinations here as more people are allowed to get the injections.
Also,
finally, back to class for some older kids. I'm Corwin Hake with the community resuming in-person high school.
A live ABC News update now. KOMO News time, 10 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Washington, D.C. is being turned into a fortress with National Guard members and local and federal authorities in lockstep to protect the nation's capital ahead of this inauguration. Core areas of the National Mall shutting down starting today. ABC's Inez de la Cotera has the latest.
The National Park Service writing areas near the U.S. Navy Memorial and John Marshall Park have been designated as demonstration areas for those holding permits. Demonstrations will be limited in number and participants will be screened prior to entry and escorted to their permitted location in addition to other safety-related requirements. Inez de la Cotera, ABC News. Washington.
American forces and intelligence working to assess the threat stemming from the U.S. Capitol siege. Law enforcement say they're working cases in many ways and how they deal with radicalized groups overseas.
What's happening with domestic terrorism is similar to what happened with ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Propaganda spreads through social media and radicalizes lone individuals who find Confederacy online. Former Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe said it's no different than people who traveled overseas to train under Osama bin Laden or ISIS fighters who went to Syria to follow Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. McCabe, though, took it a step further, saying President Trump is at the center of an extremist movement in the United States.
President-elect Joe Biden laying out his $1.9 trillion plan last night to tackle the coronavirus pandemic and boost the economy. Some Republicans raising concerns. ABC's Deirdre Bolton says other policymakers want to avoid halting aid too soon.
One analogy I have heard used often, which I think makes all the sense in the world, the debt is not great, but it's as if you're outside of your home, you're seeing your home burn down. You're not going to complain to the firefighters about potential water damage to your house while your home is burning down. So we are spending more than we're taking in. No way around that statement. But we need to spend now.
ABC's Deirdre Bolton. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. KOMO Midday.
Good morning. It's 10:02 on this Friday morning. We've got 46 degrees under cloudy skies downtown. I'm Tom Huntler with our top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center. Thanks for joining us today. The number of COVID-19 cases remains very high statewide, causing a new issue for health officials when it comes to vaccinations. KOMO's Brian Calvert reports.
When most keep hearing about the high daily totals, like yesterday's report of another 2,729 new COVID cases, the vaccine becomes even more enticing. Yet, in short, current demand is dramatically outpacing supply. People waited all day yesterday for the vaccine at a drive-up site in Squim. 2,000 cars lined up on city streets, and eventually, the Times reports 1,500 of them had to be turned away. Some had been parked there since Wednesday night in order to get the vaccine. Some fear it's a sign of things to come, and state officials worry that phases are advancing far faster than the pace of opening injection sites. In the days ahead, the state health department has promised new plans on opening new sites and getting more people vaccinated. It can't come soon enough for places like Skagit County, where they plan on advancing to the next phase in about 10 days. Yet, county officials tell GoSkagit.com they're not sure if they'll actually have enough vaccine. Brian Calvert, KOMO News.
Washington State University students getting ready to start the new semester, but anyone returning to campus will have to have a COVID test first. For those living on campus in a residence hall, they can't get their key card until that happens. Claire Kern, a sophomore at WSU, talked with Spokane's KXOY.
It's good. I mean, I don't want to get sick. I don't want my friends to get sick, my roommates. So I'm happy to do it and hope other people do it as well.
Far more students are returning to live on campus than last fall, with around 1,500 coming back, and a lot more in-person classes will be offered as well. Remote learning is coming to an end for middle and high school students in one Washington community. KOMO's Corwin Hake reports they'll start to return to physical classrooms by the end of the month.
Dr. Amy Person with the Benton Franklin Health District notes in-person learning has proceeded safely for the Tri-Cities elementary school kids.
Children can be returned to schools when schools have implemented the appropriate safety and infection control measures.
Person says she has this week attended school board meetings in both Richland and Kennewick.
And both of those school districts have made plans to move ahead with bringing students back to middle and high school towards the end of the month.
Kennewick's plan calls for middle school students to return January 25th and high schoolers a week later. Corwin Hake, Como News.
And coming up,
I'm Bill O'Neill with more on plans for vaccinating people in Pierce County against COVID-19. Details coming up.
Plus,
a Seattle school district substitute teacher under investigation for indecent exposure during an online class. I'm Carlene Johnson.
Como News time 10:04. We update your traffic every 10 minutes on the fours, and that means we're due. Here is the latest from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center with Kiara Jordan.
Unfortunately, not much change with our struggling commute in Seattle traveling westbound on Spokane Street between I-5 and 99. We have this big lineup of semis trying to get onto Harbor Island this morning. So that's what's causing our backup. Because of that, northbound I-5 is also going to crowd as you're approaching the West Seattle Bridge. And then northbound I-5 is slow again between I-90 and the Convention Center. Speaking of slow, that's been the name of the game, northbound 167, as you're coming out of Sumner and working your way into Pacific. You just have minor slowing now traveling westbound on State Route 512 as you're approaching I-5. And really not much slowing us down anymore either direction of 405. Our next Como traffic out, 1014.
This traffic report is sponsored by Beacon Plumbing, Heating, and Electrical. Call Beacon today. Save $50 on electrical work. Just call 1-800-FREAKIN and stop freaking. Call Beacon. Time to check that forecast as we get ready for a weekend. Here's meteorologist Kristen Clark.
Lingering light sprinkles can be the trend here this afternoon. Otherwise, drying out tonight, maybe some patchy fog early Saturday morning with a brief period of sun. That is going to be followed by an increase in the clouds throughout the day tomorrow as light showers are set to return Saturday night. Those wrap up early Sunday, finishing off the weekend with maybe a little bit of sun out there Sunday afternoon. Dry for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day on Monday, then trending colder late next week, possibly to support a rain-snow mix and some of our foothill locations Wednesday night. And the Como Weather Center, meteorologist Kristen Clark.
Currently 46 under cloudy skies with a few sun breaks in downtown Seattle. It's 10:06 and 20 minutes of nonstop news continues. A car crashed into a Federal Way home yesterday. Police say the driver jumped out right before impact near South 277th Place and 21st Place South around 5 p.m. According to witnesses, the car looked like it was rolling down a hill. The woman behind the wheel rolled out of the car before it hit the garage. She took off and at last report was still on the run. No one in the house was hurt. A substitute teacher in the Seattle School District is under investigation for what students saw during a remote class earlier this week for Catherine Blaine K through 8 school. The details from Como's Colleen Johnson.
The substitute teacher was not teaching the class. The regular full-time teacher was, and this man in his 50s or 60s was apparently participating in the online class via Microsoft Teams. An email from the principal sent to families doesn't give any specifics about what exactly was seen, but the allegation is indecent exposure, and Seattle police are investigating. The principal says the teacher who was leading the class quickly removed the sub from the platform, and he's currently barred from teaching or performing any other work in Seattle schools. The indecent exposure case has been assigned to a detective in the department's sexual assault unit. Carlene Johnson, Como News.
Como News time 10:07. As we continue with our top stories from the Como 24/7 News Center, Pierce County putting together a plan for vaccinating people there against COVID-19. The details from Como's Bill O'Neill.
Those plans include the creation of 3 mass COVID-19 vaccination sites in Pierce County, as well as several mobile locations. The goal is to have them up and running by the end of January or as soon as the vaccine is available. There's no word on where the sites will be. A number of criteria will be used to decide locations, including proximity to public transportation, equitable access, and geographic diversity. Officials estimate their efforts will result in the delivery of 700,000 vaccinations to 350,000 people over the course of 7 months, with about 4,600 administered each day. Bill O'Neill, Como News.
President-elect Biden unveiling a $1.9 trillion plan to help the country bounce back from the pandemic, and we're getting some reaction from state lawmakers. Here's Como's Cole Miller.
It's a lot of money. That price tag is sure to have people talking. Both Biden and one of our local congressional members are citing economists and say that there will be dire consequences if that plan does not become reality. And it is sweeping, covering everything from the federal minimum wage to vaccine distribution.
We have to act, and we have to act now.
With its nearly $2 trillion price tag, it would offer at least some relief in a number of ways. First, another round of those stimulus checks, this time $1,400. Biden also calling for expanded unemployment benefits, $400 a week through the end of September. The plan would also boost the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour and includes billions for COVID-19 testing and vaccination.
The vaccine rollout in the United States has been a dismal failure thus far.
Biden hoping to see 100 million doses given in his first 100 days. It is a lofty goal and the plan itself incredibly expensive. But some say it's what's needed to get the U.S. back on its feet.
Most economists argue that more is required to just beat back this virus and to help our economy get off the ground.
In a statement, Representative Susan Delbene said Americans need additional aid and stimulus as our nation continues to combat the COVID-19 pandemic and ensuing economic crisis.
That's Como's Cole Miller reporting. FBI warnings about the new threats of violence in Washington, D.C., prompting airlines to increase security on flights to and from the Capitol. Como's Joel Marino got reaction from travelers at SeaTac.
Masks are already required to fly commercially, but after a rowdy group of passengers refused to wear them on a flight back from D.C., Alaska Airlines is doubling down on enforcement. Extra flight attendants are being added to support compliance. Limits are being placed on ticket sales to and from the D.C. area. Passengers must stay in their seats for 1 hour from takeoff or landing near the U.S. Capitol, and pilots will be ready to divert to the nearest airport over disruptive behavior.
Part of me kind of sees why they would do that, but like at the same time, you know, there's certain restrictions that are kind of questionable.
American Airlines will also maintain its suspension on alcohol sales for D.C.-bound flights.
Most of these security changes will expire a few days after the inauguration is over.
That's Como's Joel Moreno. Other temporary changes include a ban on guns and checked bags and zero tolerance for any disruptive behavior on planes. Como News Time 1010. And the early season spiral continues for the Huskies. More from Como's Eric Hines at the Beacon Plumbing Sports Desk.
The Washington Huskies dropped their seventh game in a row, losing to USC last night 95-68. Coach Mike Hopkins says giving up 42 points in the paint was a big reason for the loss.
It's hard. It's you know, we're just getting crushed interior-wise, and we just got to be better. You know, we've no resistance in there.
Eric Stevenson led the Huskies with 16 points. They fall to 1-10 overall and 0-6 in league play. They'll visit UCLA tomorrow. Number one Gonzaga beat Pepperdine 95-70. Gonzaga has beaten Pepperdine in 40 straight games dating to 2002. Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson says he'll miss working with now former offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer let go earlier this week.
Unfortunately, you know, for us, it didn't work. It didn't work the way that we all hoped and destined it to. He's an amazing guy, amazing coach, and I'm grateful for, you know, everything that he's given me and my family and also the guys on his team.
The Jets have reached an agreement in principle with 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh to hire him as their new head coach. Saleh replaces Adam Gase, who was fired after going 9-23 in two seasons. Sports at 10 at 40 minutes past the hour. I'm Eric Heintz, Como News.
Como News Time, 10-11. Sports at 10 and 40 past each hour. And, of course, traffic and weather upcoming. The Centers for Disease Control providing new details on the distribution of the coronavirus vaccine. The health agency says over 1.3 million Americans received two doses. Meanwhile, the number of COVID-19 cases and deaths continues to spike.
Desperation as America hits its darkest milestone yet. The death toll 25% higher this week than any other week since the pandemic began. In L.A. County, a person is dying every 6 minutes. Ambulances gridlocked outside ERs. And access to that life-saving vaccine can't come fast enough. Overnight, hundreds lining up, hoping for a surplus shot. Staff desperate not to waste precious unused doses.
How do you give vaccine to all these people?
Yeah?
It's never happened before.
How desperate are you to try to get one?
Back tomorrow if I don't get it today.
And in New York City, hospitals are now warning they're facing a shortage of shots. That fear triggering this mad rush in Brooklyn. And all because this message went viral, falsely telling people there were more than 400 surplus doses at an army terminal. 30 million vaccine doses have been distributed nationwide, but so far only 11 million first doses administered, and some people going to extremes to get the shot.
Come back in an hour, sir, okay?
Residents across America, even Canada and Argentina, flocking to Florida, where anyone 65 years and older, even those from out of state, is eligible for a dose, leading to what some are calling vaccine tourism. People coming in to get the shot, then heading back to their home state.
We are discouraging people to come to Florida just to get a vaccine.
But with so many spending their winters in the state, Governor DeSantis says it makes sense to get as many people there vaccinated as possible, even if they don't live there permanently. Shelton Papel, a 67-year-old from Canada, and his wife Karen came to Florida in November. They're now signed up to get the vaccine later this month.
there's been so much death and hardship and anguish around the world, not just the United States, but we're just one part of the cog on the wheel.
And one of the things that's most complicating the distribution and administration of the vaccine is that each state seems to have its own criteria.
ABC's Matt Gutman reporting after we check your traffic and weather. The U.S. Capitol attacks last week have spawned a lot of questions like how much of the country are in favor of the people who carried out that attack. We'll have an answer or at least a poll with an ABC or with a Washington Post poll coming out right after this. 10:14, traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the fours. Kira Jordan from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center.
We are still sitting in bumper-to-bumper traffic in Seattle, trying to travel westbound on Spokane Street between I-5 and 99. We have a lineup of trucks trying to get onto Harbor Island, so everybody's caught in the backup. And this is also backing up northbound I-5 as you're approaching the West Seattle Bridge. Once you get through that, slowdown will also be busy between I-90 and the Convention Center. Not much slowing us down anymore north 5 but through Tacoma or Federal Way. That's looking really good. Northbound 167, that's seeing brake lights coming out of Sumner and into Pacific. And we've been seeing a little bit of a backup traveling westbound State Route 512 right as you're approaching I-5. Our next Como traffic at 1024.
Your forecast calls for decreasing showers, partly sunny this afternoon with a high near 50. We'll have a mostly cloudy day tomorrow, but it really should be dry before rain does come back on Sunday and Monday into the early stages of next week. Cloudy and 49 in Everett right now. Tacoma checks in with 47 in clouds and SeaTac Airport. Partly sunny, 50 degrees at 10:15.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station. Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
Here are stories we're following with Taylor Van Sice and Bill O'Neill at the editor's desk. I'm Tom Hunter. The Department of Justice believes they have solid proofs that last week's Capitol rioters were looking to capture and assassinate politicians. The claims made in a court document filed last night in the case of Jacob Chansley, who's being called the QAnon shaman. Law enforcement officials say those involved came prepared with bear spray, smoke grenades, and zip ties and had developed a communication system with hand signals and wireless communications. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says help is coming with Democrat Joe Biden becoming president next week. She cheered his proposal for an aggressive new coronavirus relief package at a Capitol briefing today, also saying justice is called for after last week's violent, deadly attack on the Capitol. Como News time now, 10:16. Speaking of that attack, one of the nagging questions left in the aftermath is how much of the country supports those who carried it out. A new Washington Post ABC News poll finds that the vast majority of Americans oppose the actions of the rioters. Joining us with more, Washington Post polling director Scott Clement. Scott, thanks for being with us as always. Good to talk to you.
Of course.
How stark is the split, and how many Americans actually do side with the rioters?
Our poll asked people if they support the actions of those who stormed the U.S. Capitol and found 8% saying they support them and 89% oppose them, including that latter number includes 80% who said they oppose the rioters, storming the Capitol strongly. And this opinion crosses party lines. 98% of Democrats, 80% of Republicans, 89% of independents. It was just really a whole scale rejection of the actions of those who came into the Capitol on January 6th.
I would imagine it would follow then that there's a pretty strong push for criminally charging those people who were involved.
You know, we didn't ask specifically about that in the poll, but we heard that in follow-up interviews from Democrats and Republicans. Particularly even from Republicans who and Trump supporters who wanted to distinguish between the actions of those who went into the Capitol and the others who support Trump, saying that those who went into the Capitol should be charged for committing whatever crimes they did.
How do they feel in your poll about charging the president himself?
Well, we found that's a very different issue, and the public is much less united on that. Mm-hmm. Unsurprisingly, 54% said Trump should be charged because he encouraged supporters to march on the U.S. Capitol. 43% said he should not be charged. Those attitudes are also pretty similar to views on whether Congress should impeach and remove him from office and prevent him from holding office again. 56% support that.
According to your poll, did the attack weaken our confidence in the stability of American democracy?
51% said that they're less confident in stability of democracy. So there are signs that this weakened things. Certainly, in follow-up interviews, respondents were shaken. They were really surprised by the events, even maybe if they weren't surprised by some of the rhetoric surrounding them. So people are shaken by it. And it's also shaken Trump's ratings. It takes quite a lot to shake his approval ratings, but he does appear to have taken a hit.
What does the country view about his behavior after this incident?
Well, you know, overall, his baseline approval rating has declined to 38% from 44% in a couple surveys that we conducted in the fall. You know, as far as the broader picture of his post-election action, 66% say he's acted irresponsibly. That's not far from the percentage who believe who disbelieve, 62% who don't believe there's solid evidence for widespread voter fraud, which Trump has claimed.
Scott, always great to hear from you, and your polling is a great help to a lot of us. Washington Post ABC News poll, and that's polling director Scott Clement from The Washington Post. Como News time now, 10:20, and time for the Propel Insurance Business Update as we check your money news at 20 and 50 past each hour.
Shares of ExxonMobil down nearly 4% after the Wall Street Journal reported the Securities and Exchange Commission has launched an investigation into allegations that an employee of the oil giant overstated the value of a key Permian Basin asset. Zoom shares up slightly after Bernstein named Zoom a top 2021 stock pick. The firm points to Zoom's recent announcement that paid seats have passed the 1 million. Mark. More California residents may be eyeing the exit, but a new list of the country's best-paying cities suggests they could be leaving behind cities that are teeming with well-compensated jobs. Golden State cities make up half of the top 10 best-paying cities in U.S. News & World Report's 2021 rankings. San Francisco tops the list, followed by San Jose, Vallejo, Salinas, and Los Angeles also in the top 10. That's your money now.
All right, we're still down on Wall Street, but the numbers have come a little bit closer to the break-even point as the Dow, which was down triple digits 30 minutes ago, is now down 65 points to 30,926. The NASDAQ still off 33.75 to 13,078. The S&P 500 with a drop of 12 to 3783. That's your Propel Insurance Business Update. Como News Time, 1021.
Como News Radio Podcasts. From news to politics, health to fitness. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app and visit comonews.com/podcast for the full podcast lineup. Stay connected. Stay informed. Como News.